Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back here for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm glad you two are having so much fun today, man.
I just had a whole text conversation with Darlington right after the interview. And I just told him, I'm like, if you have 17 minutes today, you should go to WQAM.com or the radio.com app and listen to the Omar Kelly interview. That's it.
So Jeff's got interesting takes on stuff, and we wanted to have him on today. He's back in town and one of the lead guys for NFL and ESPN, and spent time with Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I saw the pictures of him, and I knew he was covering the Tennessee game this weekend, and then I saw that he did a whole bunch of tweets in a row about, and he kind of, you know, said it on air to us about the, you don't need the number one pick in the draft to necessarily get the quarterback. And he even said it, because we even brought up Andrew Luck, and he's like, how'd that work out?
Right.
It worked out okay for a couple of years, but he's not in the league anymore. Obviously, he retired, but he's right. To a point, he's right. I mean, we were all fixated, and some of us still are.
He's like, wherever you're, and but this is where the team, I'm guessing they got to feel this way. Wherever we're picking, because the coach is going to try to win every game and build up the culture, we got to just hit on those picks.
Right, but it's not that easy.
And well,
that's where the
problem
is.
It's not necessarily easy. And listen, I think it's fair when people say Chris Greer's got to show us he can do it. Nobody in the history of this franchise has had this many picks.
No.
And by the way, you got to hit on him, because especially in the first three rounds, what are we at, 7, 3, 2, and 2, first, second, and third round, if we don't hit on him, this game plan that we had.
Oh, it's going to backfire. And then everyone's going to get fired. That's it.
We can't have average. This can't be like, well, no. We did okay. It can't be. No, you got too many top 90 picks in here.
You got seven in the first 90. I mean, you're right there. It's seven picks in the first three rounds. You got to have five guys.
By the way, you got, what is it, 14 picks right now?
Yeah.
You got two full drafts of picks.
Right.
So,
like, you got to get out of those 14 guys, you got to get 7 to 9 legitimate starters.
I don't care if you whiff on the lower round guys.
Well, I mean, that, you know, we always say that doesn't matter.
If you happen to hit on one, great.
Joe, they got three firsts.
Hit
those three first round picks have to be playing and starting or making a huge contribution to this team next year. And those 2 seconds, at least one of those guys got to come in here and start. Like, you have to build your team through this. You can't have five project guys out of the first seven where it's going to take 2 or 3 years to have them work out.
A bunch of those guys get the Michael Dieter treatment.
Right. Like, day one, you're in.
You're in.
Right.
Well, he's not ready. Well,
I don't care.
You're out as a coach, new coach in, and he starts.
Right, right.
And that's what happened.
And $100 million plus in free agency. You got to hit on a couple of those guys that come in and help right away.
Yeah. Well, no, the free agents are coming into play.
Right away. I
mean, they've got experience here.
Yeah.
They learn your system, and they're playing right away. So that's Jeff had some good stuff on all that.
He was right about the quarterbacks, though, right? Like, none of those top guys have panned out.
I can't argue. Let me ask you.
Very few of them. Some of them are riding the bench right now.
Baker Mayfield, how many first overall picks are actually starting in the league?
Baker's
right now?
Terrible.
No.
Mariota's on the bench. Jameis Winston's about to be.
Oh, Jameis and Baker. Jameis first overall pick, too.
Mariota's picked right after him.
Here you go, Joe. Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins this year. Last year, Baker, Sam,
no,
Josh.
No, 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 but
Allen.
I was talking about first overall picks.
First overall picks, Goff.
Where's our first couple picks?
Goff, Baker, Kyler Murray, the last three number ones. Yeah.
Would you even take Goff right now?
No, I want better.
Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were 1 and 2. Blake Bortles was 3.
I don't want Mariota either. I get that.
Andrew Luck.
Look at you guys are making a good point.
Cam Newton, Bradford, Matt Stafford.
I think the one that frustrates me the most, if I'm the Colts, is friggin' Andrew Luck just quit.
Right.
Like, I've had enough. I can't take it. Like, what? Are you – what? I'm good. although he may come back. And if he does, Colts got his rights and are going, come on back.
But how many
teams, we're not mad anymore.
How many teams could lose an Andrew Luck and have a Jacoby Brissett sitting back there? Like, they got lucky there also. It could have been Curtis Painter. It could have been years ago when Peyton Manning got hurt, broke his neck basically, and they decided we're going to go an entire season with Curtis Painter as our quarterback.
Do you go the route of like a Garoppolo and try to move some of those picks for a guy who's already in the league?
You know,
a lot of damaged goods.
I would prefer.
A lot of damaged goods.
I would prefer to draft another quarterback up high. That's just me. Now, we all have our opinion on how this should play out, and everybody's all over. We got people, some of my guys that I'm with just said, hey, man, we got to get some offensive linemen. We got to get some defensive linemen. We need to start with the big not sexies and go from there. So we'll see how it is. But listen, Jeff made some good points. I don't disagree about the importance of a team that's really tight, that plays really hard and jumps up and down like a high school game. I've enjoyed the three wins. I have. And I know you're not going anywhere. I get it. So we had that. And then, of course, the Omar stuff and all that stuff of everything going on. Eric Rowe, by the way, rewarded a nice little contract for being a corner safety, covering tight ends, got a 3-year, $18 million deal. Seven of it guaranteed. Came with Brian Flores here from New England. Said, here, let's do a 1 year and see how this goes.
It's worked out. Not in the beginning, but now look how it's worked out.
Well, he knows the whole system.
Right. It took some time, but it finally worked.
He knew how he was going to be used and everything else. So
a couple of those guys, Joe, we talk about all the time, Nick Needham, guys like that earlier in the season who probably couldn't – on other teams, they wouldn't have made it out of the preseason. But they had to because they needed bodies.
There's a chance that Needham would never make it on some teams. You're right, unless he did it. But he's playing a lot better. Like he got to. I'm not saying he's a frontline corner, but he bats. He made a lot of plays. He batted one again last week on a square end, bats it away to get a stop on third down. Those are, you know, and Rowe makes a play in the end zone, hurts, bringing it down. Looks like it's going to be a touchdown. Strips him in the end zone. So there have been some really good plays made. The problem with the stat thing with Omar, and we got going and got a little personal and stuff, which, you know, I probably shouldn't have done it. But the first four games, the problem with all the stats, they were so bad, especially the first game. Those are stats like we've never – I mean, 158.2 is perfect quarterback rating. They were bad everywhere with the Ravens, who might have the best team in football.
Right.
But the stats, those first four games, they started playing better against Dallas first half, and then second half didn't play well. But those first four games, they were bad.
Real bad.
And then, since then, it's been like they got a lot better. I don't want to hear about who they played. Omar's trying to make a point. They didn't have this guy and they didn't have that guy. And
doesn't matter.
Like, come on.
Whoever's on the schedule, like, that's Omar. Who you play the next week.
Omar, everybody's looking at the Dolphins, like their team and what they have. And in some cases, teams going, we already cut him and he's starting. We got rid of him like early in the year and he's starting for them.
But hasn't that been kind of the overall – The roster this year, the overall kind of roster, the overhaul on this, it's been bring guys, either have the same guys, some of the guys, same guys from last year, or bring in other guys that are just cut from teams and see what happens, see if they can work out. And that's what's happened. And look what Flores has done with that.
Well, majority of the guys that are playing well, like Rowe was here. He brought him in. He wasn't a waiver guy. Devontae, you look at those guys, Fitzpatrick, the guys that are playing the best still on this team, Baker, Raekwon, those guys were on the team.
Right.
Beagle, you traded for. So, still the best players on the team are not the waiver guys.
Are some of the core guys that have been.
They're the core guys, and you're going, okay, those guys can all play. They're going to fit my system in the future. Trade and all that kind of stuff, those guys are good to go. Now, we got to see if any of those waiver guys
work out and slash on the team next year.
Waiver slash practice squad, because right. It all goes together. You get waived, then you go practice, then you get picked up. Right. Do you ever think we'd be doing that?
No.
You ever think,
say, in the middle of the season like that we've been doing or towards the end of the season?
But there are Aguavin finally playing better, looks more comfortable, you know, and they've stuck with some guys, man. Well, you know, those are guys they have.
But a great text just came in. Joe, it's called coaching them up. And I think that that's the one thing that a lot of people aren't looking at, maybe nationally also, is the fact that look at this roster. Look at I have to bring up Devontae and Gesicki because Devontae before the season, there's no shot I thought he'd be back on this team. Forget about Gase or anything. Just the fact that you have to just get him out of here. He has done nothing for this team for years. He's a first-round bust. That's Gase, what he was before this
if
season.
If Gase was here, they never pick up the fifth-year option, right, and they cut him.
Right.
And they tell him you're free to go.
And Gesicki would be sitting in the back of a room somewhere, not being used.
Hopefully it wouldn't be with that 5-foot coach that had no clue about tight ends.
He's sitting on his shoulders. Like,
the guy
I don't
that
know
should
what
be the science
right.
teacher down at
right.
Over at Cooper City High School. I just, you know, without taking shots. The other thing is, like, I don't know why I feel like I have to defend this guy. Like, everybody's saying nice things about Brian Flores. Here I am in the friggin' here. No matter what, like, he even should get credit. Like, the special play, they're going, that was a great call by the special teams coach. It doesn't go. That play doesn't go in unless the head coach goes, go onside. Run that play. That play, now's the time to run it. Like, everything gets signed off by the head coach. That's why he's the head coach.
Right.
And that guy's involved, man. Throws the flag. Good time to throw the flag. That I think it was pass interference. It was. He got to get some credit for something. Besides, he doesn't have a running game.
Well, the problem is also that when you look at
and we don't have a running game.
No.
It's bad.
Oh, it's terrible.
And it's got
terrible. It's not bad.
Next year, it's got to get some guys in there and get back up to 100. There are going to be a lot of guys on that O-line that won't be back next year. Well, they'll be back for camp, but probably not going to be. Can't go with that same five.
No way.
The two left tackles have really struggle.
Joe, you need minimum three new linemen.
I'm putting it nicely, but the two left tackles, whether they're a little injured, I'm trying to be nice here today. I don't want to get ugly, but that's Dieter's got to get better.
Right.
He's got to get more consistent. I don't know if Calhoun, he's going to keep playing, but I don't know if he can play. I don't know if he's good enough. So,
you need three.
Jesse's coming back and
right. Jesse's there. Dieter's there, and then you got to fill three holes unless Kilgore comes back. Or he comes back.
By the
and
way,
he's not
Kilgore
a
is really good for this right. team though
he's
too,
a,
man.
He's a leader in the locker room.
He's another guy. He's a little bit like Fitzpatrick. Like a couple of those guys. I know this doesn't sound sexy to talk about, but some of those guys that no matter what goes on, they're real positive and like, hey, screw this draft stuff you're hearing upstairs, or from the media about, hey, let's go out and kick some ass. And you get a couple of those guys, like Kilgore, like they didn't go, I want out. They went, let's play.
Right.
Fitzpatrick didn't go, hey, man, can you trade me so I can go play for somebody? He said, I like being with these young guys. This is kind of fun. I know we're getting long-winded here. I apologize. We'll come back. 56022. We'll jump in on the machine here and get to everything. Right now, though, I'd like to tell you about Andy Cagnetta at Transworld. Oh, man. Transworld Business Advisors.
All right, we're going to be nice to the people once again, Joe, if you want to. The world's largest holiday theme park and a 37-year tradition. Santa's Enchanted Forest is back. And we have a family four-pack to give out right now.
That's a nice evening.
It is.
To go
it's a cool
that.
It's right. a cool evening out there.
When you're not stressed out and you're feeling good and nobody's getting to you on any topics, it's just kind of like, hey, let's take the kids and
right.
and forget about everything for a while.
Pretty cool park, Santa's Enchanted Forest. It's a 37-year tradition, like I said, world's largest holiday theme park. Family four-pack of tickets right now. Caller number 5-305-567-0560. That's 305-567-0560. 0560 wins a family four pack of tickets to Santa's Enchanted Forest.
All right. We've
I like
you
when
guys
you talk.
Oh, you guys are too funny. 56022. We got a guest coming up. Is it Jamie Erdahl? was going to join.
Yes, Jamie Erdahl. Yeah, she's a like the CBS and like the SEC sideline reporter, but she's been all over the place. I believe she was at the Iron Bowl also this weekend, the Auburn Alabama game. Right.
Honestly, of all the games, the good and the bad of here in South Florida, that made my weekend. That look on that last play, I know he felt it wasn't fair and he didn't have a chance to adjust to what they were doing and thought the official should have given him more time. But to see him lose that way, it's kind of a form of getting out coached in that situation.
Yeah, okay.
They were out of time and maybe they don't, you know, score anyway. But just the way it ended, it felt good.
When we see Saban lose like that, it feels nice.
And it's terrible to be that way.
I know.
I mean, he's won a ton. He's still the best coach in college football. Although some will say Dabo. Hey, honestly, Urban's not coaching, and he's one of the best. Look at what he left that guy.
You're right.
Look what he got that guy.
But when was the last time Clemson lost a game?
Oh, they've been a couple seasons. Yeah.
They went undefeated last season, right?
And Dabo is playing that card right now better than anybody.
He should.
We don't get respect. They're dying to knock us out of this thing. I told my guys, he's got, we're not the SEC. We're getting treated. Like, apparently we haven't done anything. Look what they're doing to Georgia. How can we keep Georgia? We pounded South Carolina, and they lost to them at home. He brought them all up. He was throwing out all the cards, the playoff cards.
Right.
Boy, if we fall, we're out. I don't think you have to worry about Virginia too much. Clemson, they should be fine in
their conference championship game. Right.
What do we got coming in, man?
All right, 56022 is the text line, actually. How about this one? I'll be honest, I agree with Omar about Flores. I think Fitzpatrick has taken over this team, but if I agree with Omar for the first time in my life, I must be wrong.
Look at.
So he thinks Fitzpatrick has taken over.
So,
the team.
So what has happened? And it's fine if you're this way. I can't change one thing about radio shows. We're not into changing anybody's opinion. I'll never change Omar in anything. But you got to give, it still starts with coaching and goes to players. And I understand the players make the plays. I do. I understand that. I think Fitzpatrick's the MVP, followed by Devontae Parker. They're 1-2 on this team. But you still got to give credit for this offense. Well, and then then I give it to, their offensive coordinator. I give it to O'Shea or I give it to Patrick Graham. And I'm like, wait a second, man. Special teams coach for all these trick plays that have worked. They've had a lot of special teams plays. Hell, if we didn't have a couple offsides, we'd have more recoveries on onside. But the head guy still got to get some credit because he signs off and – he's the one that he's putting his personality all over this team. He's the one that pats Devontae Parker on the back. He's not catching the ball for Devontae.
Right.
He's the one that said, you know what? The Josh Rosen thing's not, it's a bad idea. I need to put Fitz is clearly better and more mature to handle
this
team.
We want to win games. That's our best shot.
And he did it. Yeah. And he's here to win.
Coach Flores cut the cancers out and coached them up. Now look at the team.
That's the other thing is the guys that don't want to be here, although – I don't think Minka would have been a problem, but if the guys he literally got rid of everybody or he didn't play him, and he's playing guys now that want to play, and he knows. You don't think he knows? He ain't got a lot of horsepower for any race. We all go take our cars out there. He's lining up in a golf cart right now while you're dry. You guys have your cars.
Not a gas-powered golf cart either, just the one you push down and there's no gas. To Joe's point, Omar said on the station before game one this year in your pregame show, Miami's best chance to win a game this year would be week one against Baltimore. He cannot judge teams. Okay. If he did say that.
I don't remember, by the way, for all of you that remember what somebody said 2.5 months ago.
Yeah, good job.
3 months
ago. Right, great job.
You guys are special.
I don't remember what happened in the 7 o'clock hour.
There's no way he said that.
But it is funny.
They never beat Baltimore. There's no way.
Omar couldn't remember how many games he picked before the year started.
That's a good point also. You're right. Yeah. Let's see what else. Luck quit because he got murdered because the Colts kept getting wide receivers and not linemen. Don't dare call Luck a quitter because his body was broken. If it heals, I'm sure he'll be back. Yeah, maybe. It's Andrew Luck stuff, maybe. Omar's butt hurt because Tua got injured and crushed his dreams.
But what if the Dolphins weren't, all gung-ho on Tua to start with?
Well, we don't know that. You're right. We have no idea. Maybe they like one of the other guys.
I do appreciate he was Tua's clearly the guy and wouldn't give Burrow any credit. I don't know. I wouldn't mind having Burrow still if you're able to get him.
Well, of course. Joe, you need to stop this. Tannehill has a good running game thing. All quarterbacks need support. Seahawks ran for 200-plus last night. He does have a good running game, though. That's why Tannehill, it helps him out.
Like, you can't argue with the fact that Tannehill's running game's helped him out.
No, no, no. It's, I mean, Derrick Henry is a beast.
Tell you, the running game's connected to the play-action game. The play-action's connected to more time to throw. More time to throw, hitting receivers wide open, because they're all cheating up on the run.
That was well done. You did that off the top of your head?
How was that?
That was really good.
Put a little something childish into the show. Yeah. That's kind of how it works, man.
You put it childish, the show's pretty childish.
When you got a run game, by the way, ask Lamar Jackson. How that run game works.
He is the run game. Big part of it.
They're running for 200 and something yards a game. I think it's up to 220. Looks like the old days of Oklahoma and Nebraska, what they're putting up, man.
Offense.
Not supposed to happen in the NFL.
Ryan Tannehill was a scapegoat for this crap front office that was running the Dolphins while he was here. Make no mistake about this. He not only got a bad rap, he got the worst rap. I think just people were ready to move on from Tannehill.
He need a fresh start. Listen, we can sit here and you can be a Tannehill cheerleader or a team cheerleader and whatever. He just needed a fresh start.
Yeah. And I think the Dolphins did too.
The fan base, the fuse just got real short with him. I can't imagine he still wanted to be here. After everything from the injury bug to – I'm not saying he played on the best teams. Don't get me wrong.
No, sometimes you just need a fresh start. It could be in any relationship.
Hell, the best team that was playing the best, he didn't get a chance to play, was injured.
All right. Two more and we'll get out of here. If I didn't live 12 hours away, Joe, I'd buy you those two Big Macs you wanted for that Omar beatdown. Okay?
That article. It's just like, I don't know why Omar – I don't. Whatever. Everybody sees things different on this team, right? Everybody sees things different.
This one is kind of funny, and I hope that everything's okay with you, sir. The Debbie Downer O Club. Omar and Orlando and my oncologist. Omar is the least pleasant. I'm on my way to the oncologist now to cheer up.
Oh,
good
God,
sir.
Jeez.
I hope everything's okay with you. That text is nuts, though.
Want to find out and see how Nick Saban's doing next? Want to find that out? We can do that in just a second for sure.
Well, they said there was 1 second on the clock, but it's a live clock, so if they stop the clock, there's no way they could snap it and kick it in 1 second. If you clock the ball, you got to have 3 seconds to do it. So I don't get it, but it is what it is. We just have to keep playing.
Nothing.
It is what it is, right, man. Right, God, right. That brought back old memories.
Great
right
memories from years ago. All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. CBS Sports sideline reporter, and she was there at the Iron Bowl. Jamie Erdahl joins us right now. Jamie, you don't know the smile on my partner Joe's face right now after the Nick Saban debacle this weekend. And the joy that some people take here in South Florida when Nick Saban is crying to the sideline reporter after the game or at halftime. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
You guys are giving me hives by replaying that right when I have to start the interview with you. My God, is that necessary?
Hey, no, but you have to go out there and do that, and you had to know that he was fired up. Right. You've been around him. So what was that like for you?
Here's the thing about the way that second quarter ended of that game was I was kind of at a loss for what the heck I was going to ask that guy anyways, because so much had happened. Yet we still had an entire second half to play of that game. Where do you even start? Do you start with how the defense is supposed to stop Auburn? Do you start with Mac Jones? So it was kind of a blessing in disguise for me. It was like the easiest question I could ever ask somebody, which was, what did they just tell you just happened? Because, we're not allowed to be mic'd up with the officials. So what was great, too, was that he thought the half had ended. So he came over to me and we're standing there and we're making him wait, which is never a good thing.
Nope.
And then he walks away and he has to go back and put his headset back on, go through that whole ordeal and then come back over to me. And then I asked him the question and I get that. And his, his body language, his tone is so fascinating to me that you can tell with that left hand, he starts to ramp up and he's getting really heated. And then he realizes, I got to check this. And then he kind of brings himself back, and which I appreciate. But I guess I walked away from that. Everyone was marveling at it. It's like, he's not mad at me. What do I care? I just have to ask the question.
Yeah.
It'd be different if he was mad at me. But, you know, it's good television.
It was very good, Jamie. I got to tell you, it was you all over the country good. There is no question. By the way, now there's two games I want to see because you had the Auburn-Bama game, which it's hard to beat that game. And now that LSU-Georgia game coming up should be a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. Talk about two tidal waves coming at each other between the Georgia defense and LSU's offense. I mean, I think it's two units that haven't faced the opposite side of the ball that's as strong as that unit is all season long. So what's some, you know, the cliche, the old adage, I know you guys love it, but something's got to give. And I don't know what it's going to be. I still haven't, you know, I'm waiting to see what emerges here, but it should be explosive.
Jamie, the funny thing is that game on CBS, by the way, that you're going to be on the sidelines for with Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson, is going to be not only just a watch game because it's going to be a great game, but there's going to be other conferences watching that game.
Oh, yeah.
Hoping at that point that LSU just takes care of business, because there is only one thorn in the playoff side right now. It's if Georgia beats LSU and Georgia makes the playoff and then LSU doesn't drop out, and then all of a sudden someone from the Pac-12 or Big 12 is crying next Tuesday or Sunday night when they announce who the Final Four are going to be, because Georgia right now is the only team, I think, that could put a thorn in everyone else's side if they win this game.
Absolutely. If that happens this weekend, you only have two teams that are undefeated, and then you have about six teams that have a smirk on their face, like, why aren't you looking at me? Why aren't you looking at my schedule? And then I feel like the committee, which I have nothing to do with the committee, so this is just my, you know, opinion from far away. I feel like they know that it's been this weird couple of years where people just feel like the SEC has been catered to or the Big Ten has been catered to, you know, and they, is this the year that they feel like they have to, quote unquote, make a statement and get one of those, you know, get a Utah in there, get, you know, one of those teams in there, when really, you know, the unequivocal eye test, like, I don't even know what that means anymore. So, yes, the whole country is probably wanting LSU to take care of business, because I would not want to be in that room if Georgia wins.
Jamie, I was just going to say, if it is the next one up and all the teams win that we think are going to win, I think that eye test that you bring up puts Oklahoma ahead of Utah. And I don't know if it's fair or not, but it just seems that way, doesn't it? Or not necessarily.
I do too. The way that they've been challenged this year and won games. Now, I'll be honest, full disclosure, you know, the way our games line up, you know, I don't get to watch the entirety of a lot of these games. So, you know, would I say I've watched a ton of Utah football this year? Not as much as I should have. For making a statement, but having watched the Oklahoma games that I have, I do think that they just, you put them, you know, eye test, I do think that they would be in the top four.
Jamie, you got to help me out, because I always wonder this, for a game as crazy as Auburn and Alabama. So now it's the game's over, and they're telling your ear, go find the coach, and you've got that many people going over the top of those bushes, sprinting to the middle. Do you have security with you to help you get out there and find – how's that work?
First of all, the Bushes are like the greatest defense I could have ever asked for on Saturday, because at least it slowed them down a little bit before I could get the coach. I do have security, but what happened was, man, that was really my first field rush I ever had to deal with, and it was like a draft. So I was drafting off of Gus Malzahn's cops that follow him. So coach was going first to find Coach Saban, then his three police officers that he has, then I was right on the tail of the police officers, because I know that once he shakes Coach Saban's hand, he's going to wheel around. And if you lose him after that moment, he's gone and I've failed for the day. So I was right there. The cops knew I was behind them. And then I have my team behind me that gets me on the air. You know, in that moment, you know, Brad tosses down to me for the interview. I just go, because I don't know where my camera is. Thank God he was right there. But sometimes the aerial camera has to find you. You know, it's all this stuff. But I think the harder part was getting Derek Brown, who is the largest human I've ever been around, getting him through the crowd and to me, you know, once everyone had really emerged onto the field. So it was beautiful chaos. I would not have wanted it to go any other way. But, yeah, those hedges – played. They bought me about 15 seconds, I would say.
It's your best offensive lineman.
Woman. They got a shot of one woman. I don't know if she must be out by now, but like she was stuck in there. Like that was pretty tough.
And she just disappeared.
Swallowed up by the grass. I don't know what happened there. Right? Jamie, Nick Saban, Gus Malzahn, the SEC coaches in general, Ed Orgeron, like this. It's got to be an interesting sideline gig for you each week when you're on one of these huge games and you got to talk to one of these huge name coaches, especially at the SEC. But Saban, this last week, we have to give you high praise for that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Never an easy one.
Right. Yeah.
No. In those moments, you know, you just.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
You know, ask the question and let him go. That's all you can do. And if he says three words or 33 words, doesn't matter. You did your job and let him go.
Yeah, it's just an interesting situation with Nick Saban. You don't realize the rejoice in South Florida when Nick Saban
does. Oh, my God. You got to stop about
that. No, I just think it's funny because your smile when we started this interview
says
it all. I know,
but Jamie knows. She knows the past, and right. I've let it go. Listen, he recruits down here and does great. So, right. I mean, he's not going away.
Yeah.
And, heck, we may have him in the Orange Bowl. Who knows? That could still happen, too.
Also.
So, anyway, Jamie, with these games and just getting in position and stuff, And coming to you, just talk about all that stuff with how loud it is and getting in position and all that stuff.
I think in that situation, and that's the great thing about the SEC, man, we get great games. So more often than not, we're dealing with kind of chaos down there anyways. I think what our production does a great job at is showing from an aerial view or from a wide view why it might look crazier, why it might be so loud. So people the entire day have understood to their best capability how crazy that finish really was and why, you know, I might be getting shoved during an interview or, you know, why a different right. camera has to find me or why, you know, but I just focus on the conversation I have to have with the person right in front of me because I know I trust my director to be showing, you know, what the scene that is unfolding around us. But as that Gus Malzahn interview progressed, I just could feel the tunnel of people closing in on us closer and closer. And I just, you know, I interview Bo Nix, Derrick Brown, and then we got out of there because I wanted to let people celebrate the way they wanted to. And
yeah,
it was, but you just have to trust that we're on the air. They can hear me.
Right.
I don't know if they can see me, but we're getting it out there.
Jamie, we're glad you survived. That's all that matters. That's
Jamie,
that
this
matters.
Has been
you.
Great. We
that.
Really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that, guys.
All right, Jamie, have a good day. We'll speak to you soon. That's Jamie Erdahl. She joined CBS Sports in 2014. She's the lead SEC on CBS reporter since 2018. She'll be on the call with Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson this Saturday for the SEC Championship on CBS at 4 p.m. And, by the way, at 1:30 on Saturday, the Conference USA Football Championship, FAU and UAB will be on CBS Sports Network. Got to give FAU
congratulations. Listen, right. I'm with you. Congratulations to FAU, man.
Yep.
Quietly up there in Boca. We don't talk about them much. Oh. Coach has trouble getting up early in the morning.
Well, they're about 8 minutes from the alarm going off.
But I will tell you, man, they're getting it done. I think they got the most takeaways or most interceptions in Division I football. How about that little stat?
Yeah, they're going to be happy about that, too.
We're about ready to say goodbye, though. We're going to be saying goodbye and let this day go a little bit.
Sure. I want to keep going on
go
this.
Go ahead. I know. You guys are like two little kids, man. Well, give me one. Give me one to go with.
Let's see. Omar's a dumb hating, you know what? Flores, you get votes for coach of the year with that roster. Omar's a moron. Omar definitely said that. I totally forgot about that. Good catch by that guy. Omar's a moron. They weren't. He's pointing out, did you guys get the tweet? Because somebody did tweet to us the preseason predictions. But someone said that he did say that about Baltimore on the pregame show before the season. He said they can get Baltimore.
Man, I don't know how you guys remember stuff that far.
I don't know.
We just tweeted out the interview, by the way, at Joe Rose Show. The interview's up there if you want to go listen to it.
If you need a little entertainment.
It was heated this morning.
There's some personal shots taken, including I'm paid by the Miami Dolphins. That hurt a little bit. But keep it coming.
Right.
That one did get to you a little.
Don't suck. Huh? Because that's everybody's go-to. That's like me saying you never played the game.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one.
Man. I've heard you go to that occasionally.
Yeah, yeah.
You have never heard me say that.
You never dropped
done that. No. Come on.
Pretty sure you said that to me the other day.
I've never
that's possible.
That. Maybe you.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go, everybody. Lebby and Stu Gotts coming up next. Have a great day, everybody.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.